Here at the Fuel Ethanol Workshop in St. Louis, with me is Mr. Bob Dineen, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. Just gave the keynote address here. How many years have you done that, Bob?
Oh, I'm not certain. I try to speak at this event every year, and I guess I've given the keynote speech maybe five or six times. I enjoy this audience because, you know, these are the people that are working at the plants. These are the people that make the magic happen. And I get far more out of coming to this event than anybody could possibly get listening to me prattle on.
Well, the first thing you did was you recognized Kathy Bryan, who started this event 26 years ago. And tell me a little bit about Kathy and your relationship with her over the years.
Well, you know, Kathy was one of the first people in the industry I met. I was at a conference in Denver, and really her message to me was, Bob, that was a horrible speech you just gave. But she was able to do it in a way that, you know, was constructive, and I understood what she was talking about. And then she proceeded to tell me what I really should be saying and how I should be presenting it. She had a way of interacting with people that was always very positive, and she had great passion for this industry. She was a tireless advocate for ethanol and for rural America, and she had friendships throughout the entire industry. So she was a very special person, and her vision is one that continues to guide a lot of us here today.
Great legacy she's left here, and obviously she's sorely missed this year, but as you said, she's here in spirit. Now, what was your main message this morning to the people here?
Well, I tried to convey that we need to continue to work together. There are deep divisions in the industry today that we can't afford, and there's a lot of work that we still need to do, work that is highly technical in nature, not that some ad firm can wrap their arms around. We need to be able to demonstrate what our carbon footprint is. We need to be able to answer critics that are questioning the efficacy of ethanol in higher levels. So the challenges that we face are not ones that are easily resolved and will take a lot of hard work. The people in this room are those that possess the kind of technical knowledge that we're going to need to tap into and to translate for policymakers so that we continue to move this industry forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, two of the biggest issues we're facing here this year specifically is increasing the blend rate and retaining the ethanol incentives. What do you feel about that? How do you feel like that's going to turn out before the end of the year?
Well, on the blend wall on E15, I am frustrated that EPA appears to be headed down a path to allow the use of E15 only in those vehicles 2001 and newer. There's not one scintilla of evidence that the agency has that would suggest that there's a problem with older vehicles, and yet they continue to pursue this. They want to slap a label on the pump that says warning, not for use in older vehicles. And the consumer is going to see warning and see ethanol and just walk away confused because they've been told for decades that ethanol is an extremely safe product. So I am very concerned with the direction that EPA is going. And, you know, we need to get the agency to take a fresh look at this and not to bifurcate the auto market. On the tax incentive, it's going to be a difficult fight because Congress is just dysfunctional right now. You know, the biodiesel tax credit has not been extended. It's lapsed since last December, not because of a lack of political support, not because there aren't enough votes in the United States Senate or the House of Representatives, but simply because the institution itself is broken. They couldn't pass a joint resolution in support of Mother's Day today. And it's really discouraging for those of us that have worked in Washington, D.C. for a long time to see just how dysfunctional the body has become. Still, I'm an ethanol lobbyist, so I am by nature and avocation an optimist, and I believe that there will be vehicles getting to the president's desk before the end of this year upon which we will be able to add the tax incentive. Frankly, it's just too important. Ethanol is now 10% of the nation's motor fuel. We can't allow the production to lapse because Congress hasn't dotted every I or crossed every T. They need to get off their butts and do some work.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also talked about we just recently had a challenge to the RFS from Friends of the Earth called the Global Rebound Effect. What is your response to that, Bob?
Okay, after I stop laughing, My response gets pretty serious because I think that this is a real threat to the industry. It reflects, though, how desperate the environmental community is. The theory goes like this. Ethanol is reducing petroleum use in the United States. I thought that was a good thing. But because we are reducing petroleum use in the United States, the price of oil was falling. Okay, I scratched my head. I thought that was a good thing, too, for consumers. But no, because the price of oil is falling, that's encouraging other nations to increase their petroleum use, and ethanol needs to be penalized for other countries increasing their petroleum. They call it the global rebound effect. I think it's just such utter nonsense. It defies description. But, you know, it does reflect, you know, where environmentalists want to take this debate and just how low they are willing to go to keep ethanol from becoming the force that it should become.
It's crazy, and it wastes time and resources for both you, the ethanol industry, and the federal government.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's an incredibly destructive distraction.
All right. Now, you also talked about California. I understand you're on your way there today. Where are we at in California as far as corn ethanol's use there under their rules that CARB is trying to put forward?
Well, under their existing rules, corn ethanol is not allowed in the state of California beginning in January, for the most part. And we think that that's ridiculous. We think it is a function of a model that California used to build its regulation that was deeply flawed. That's not just our opinion. That is also the opinion now of the scientists that developed that very model, because they have updated their work and they have reduced by half the carbon footprint of grain-based ethanol that would allow corn-grown ethanol to be produced and sold in the state of California for years to come. So, excuse me.
It's okay.
So, the state of California has committed itself to the best available science. Put up or shut up. Your own modelers, your own model, the very people that you tasked to develop the carbon profile for ethanol now say your regulation overstates it by a factor of two. You got to change it. And they continue to dither. I believe before all is said and done, saner heads will prevail and ethanol will indeed be allowed to be sold there, but we got to continue knocking heads, and that's what I intend to do tomorrow.
Good. Yeah, I know you'll do it. All right, final question. Environmental Working Group came out today, and why ethanol has to keep fighting these environmentalists, I don't understand. We've already addressed that, but they've come out and said basically all of the tax incentives and all of the money that the federal government has helped to incentivize the ethanol industry has been a waste of money. What's your response to that?
Bunk. I mean, how about the $500 billion that we continue to subsidize oil on the world stage? I mean, they need to take their head out of the oil-drenched estuaries in the Gulf Coast and take a look at, you know, what the alternatives are. Because if we don't have ethanol, then we're deep in more wells in the Gulf of Mexico, people. We're going to be having to scrape more tar sands from the forests in Canada. I mean, I think the environmentalists really need to adjust their thinking because they're being extraordinarily short-sighted.
And comparatively speaking, the subsidies, if you want to call them that, the incentives for ethanol are, compared to the subsidies for gas and oil, are minute.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, $5 billion for ethanol this year versus $500 billion. I'm sorry. I think it is crazy to focus on the $5 billion and not the $500 billion.
And as far as the return for investment, what does this country get in their return for investment for ethanol?
Well, we're getting increased employment. We're getting economic opportunities in rural America. We're getting reduced farm program costs as savings to the federal government. We are getting lower costs at the pump. We are certainly seeing less environmental damage as a result of petroleum use. The benefits are untold. And not fully recognized by those that would just pick up a rock and throw it.
All right, very good. Thank you very much, Bob Dineen, here at the Fuel Ethanol Workshop in St. Louis. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.